I'm Pierre Lumumba, speaking here from the Africa Heritage House in Machakos County in the Republic of Kenya, in this mother continent of Africa. And as we continue these conversations, we ask ourselves the mother question: what would Africa have been had we not had foreign intervention in the manner that we did? Which begs the question, what was Africa before that intervention? It is now recorded and agreed that civilization started in the Rift Valley in the continent of Africa. It is now agreed that the human beings that we see in the whole world came from the continent of Africa. That is many years ago. It is also acknowledged that they are civilizations that remained in the continent of Africa. But many of these are stories that are not well documented, so that whenever we talk about Africa, many are likely to refer to the works of European historians and the works of European anthropologists and European explorers who claim to have discovered rivers and mountains in the continent of Africa, even in the presence of the inhabitants of those areas. What was Africa? In order to understand what Africa was, the accepted authority in that regard is Senegal's Ante Cheikh Diop. In his many books about the origin of civilization and Africa before the advent of the Europeans and barbarism and civilization, Ante Cheikh Diop is effectively telling us how the continent looked like. He tells us of the great civilization that existed in different areas. If you look at the northern part of Africa, you'll discover the kingdom that existed in Carthage. If you look at what is now referred to as Egypt, you will discover that there were civilizations, great civilizations in that area, in the Nuba area. If you go to what is now called Ethiopia, at one time called Abyssinia, you find great civilizations. And if you move to the western part of Africa, you discover civilizations amongst the Yoruba, the Oyo, the Hausa, the Fante. And if you go to the central part of Africa, you find the Mossi. And indeed, if you go to the southern part of Africa, the Zulu Empire, the Xhosa, the Venda, the Monomotapa Empire, the Lunda Empires, in central Africa, the Baluba. In eastern Africa, the Bunyoro Kitara, the Baganda, and the Nilotic, so-called Nilotic empires, Africa had a civilization. If you go to Ethiopia amongst the Oromo, they had a complete governance system called the Gardra system. But it must also be recognized that African populations, that like population throughout the world, were divided into categories of those who are pastoralists, who are therefore moving from place to place. History now tells us that there are people who are settled in East Africa now who came from what the Europeans decided to call the Middle East, which was a part of Africa. The creation of the Middle East was a geopolitical issue by the Europeans. And these are people who moved down, and they would move up and down because they were looking for pasture. There are also those who came from the Congo Basin, and many people who are now to be found in East Africa can trace their ancestry to the Congo Basin. So that there were whole civilizations of people who are engaged in trade. And some of the movement was by dint of trade. Those who are engaged in making iron tools were selling to those who needed them for agriculture. You will discover that amongst the Dogon in what is present day Mali, we now know that there were astronomers who discovered that the world is the way it is long before Copernicus and other people came to that realization. We know that we had great civilizations and great libraries in places such as Timbuktu. We know that the Benin Wall, great architecture, the Benin Wall was longer than the Great Wall of China. And this has been demonstrated. And if anybody ever doubted, we are now seeing the return of the artifacts which were looted by European powers from Berlin. We have seen the return of such artifacts by the British. We have seen the return of the artifacts by the French. We have seen the return of those artifacts by museums in the United States of America. This is indicative of an Africa that had reached levels of civilization which were amazing. In the area of medicine, we now know that what is known as in utero operations were conducted in the continent of Africa, and that the first caesarean operation was actually performed in the continent of Africa. In other words, the Africa that existed before the advent of the Europeans was an Africa that was on a trajectory of development and civilization. It is also true that that Africa was not an Africa that was fortified. There were traders across the continent of Africa. And history tells us that the very first interaction of Africans with other civilizations was actually by reason of trade. That is why when you go to what is now known as Madagascar or Malagasy, you see Malaysians there, you see Chinese there, you see Filipinos there, because they came for purposes of trade, as indeed you see the Chinese, and their elements and the DNAs now confirm that these populations mixed. On the coast of what is now called the eastern coast of Africa or Swahili, the Arabs also came to the continent of Africa and they mixed with the local populations, giving birth to the language that is now known as Kiswahili, which is Bantu-based, but borrows very heavily from Arab language, borrows very heavily from Spanish language, borrows reasonably from the Portuguese language. So there were interactions between Africans and other civilizations. It is equally true there was trade between the Portuguese and the Spaniards with the continent of Africa before the advent of slavery. When one therefore is talking about the continent of Africa, one must understand Africa as a continent that was diverse, but a continent that was involved in activities which mirror activities which we can talk about in the present world. And one need only mention a few areas, even if one repeats oneself. Look at the area of weaponry. Among the Zulu, the cow horn fighting system is still used in military schools as we speak today. And the cow horn was an innovation of Shaka the Zulu, as indeed was the assegai, which was the short spear, which was used in those days. If you look at the architecture and you see what was happening in the Monomotapa Empire in present-day Zimbabwe, these were great works of architecture. And as I've already indicated, in Benin, we see this kind of architecture. We see these in areas of Mali, in the areas of Timbuktu, and even modern day Burkina Faso, as indeed we see it in the Buganda area and in the Zenj Empire along the eastern coast of Africa. That is in the area of architecture. When you look at areas such as the manipulation of iron ore, we can see that it was already being dealt with in a manner that mirrors what we now see with great industries of the 21st century. So that this particular continent was diverse and people were engaged in different activities. The other thing that we forget about Africa is that they had laws. The Kurukanfaga, or what is normally referred to as the Mandian Charter, was a charter that existed before many charters, before the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, before the French Revolution, before the Bolshevik Revolution. We had the Mandian Cult Charter, which talked about the rights of the citizens during the kingdom or the governorship of Sundiata Keita of Mali. So you can see that even in the legal arena, there was an Africa that was active in that area. I've already talked about astronomy, and I've mentioned the Dogon Empire, which means that people had their own calendars. Amongst the Igbo, they had their own calendar. Amongst the Yoruba, they had their own calendar, the Hausa Fulani. And of course, they had their own gods and God. You have names. Whenever you see a people have a name for something, remember that they knew that person and communed with them. In terms of philosophy, we had great philosophers of the day. In fact, it is suggested that some of the individuals whom the Western world now celebrate as great philosophers, such as Socrates and Aristotle and Plato and Isocrates and Aristophanes and Sophocles, actually came to the continent of Africa and learned their craft from the continent of Africa. And that continent is the mother continent for no reason other than that she is the repository of many things. In the Ethiopian segment of the world, even denominations such as Christianity had their true origin and true repository in the place that we now call Ethiopia. Of course, there may be debates here and there, but progressively archaeology is demonstrating that these were true before European missionaries and anthropologists came and muddied the water and ensured that the history about Africa was edited out and redacted from their writing so that they could demonstrate that they were superior. Which then begs the question, if there had been no intervention, what would Africa look like today? In my view, we would have a continent that is as developed as the other in the arts. We would have a continent that is technologically advanced. We would have a continent that is politically advanced. We would have a continent that is economically advanced, because slavery removed some of our best men and women from the continent and took them to the rest of the world. So that today the world should actually thank Africa, because Africans built the United States of America. Africa built Europe. If you go to Brussels, you go to Madrid, to Lisbon, to Berlin, to London, and ask yourself how they came about, it is because of African slaves. And one is therefore saying that this continent would have been a much better continent if it had not been confused by slavery and devastated by colonization. But we cannot lament for too long. It is true that we suffered and continue to suffer, but the time is now to use that history, the history of a continent that had a firm foundation in all spheres of human knowledge, and use that history to go back to ourselves and regain our confidence. And once we regain our confidence, we'll put our continent on the trajectory of development, which development will be dictated by ourselves. As Zambia's Dambisa Moyo has said, the time is now not to rely on aid, because aid has been devastating to the continent of Africa. And I'm speaking at a time when the theme for the African Union is the year of reparation. We look forward to the Western world making reparations for the continent of Africa for the opportunities that they took away by taking our sons and daughters, by taking our resources, and by ensuring that our continent was undermined. This continent had a past, a glorious past. Africa had that past as the foundation. This continent has a present. She is struggling and redefining herself and finding herself during this period. This continent has a future, and that future is bright. It is a future that will be defined by Africa. It is a future that will ensure that Africa discovers herself and realizes her potential. As Congo's Patrice Emery Lumumba said in 1961, there is coming a time when Africa will write her own history, do her own things, and be at the table of human civilization as a chartered member of that table. The conversation and discussion of the continent of Africa remains alive at all times. We continue the discussion and the interrogation of things germane to the continent of Africa, but we now say our bye-byes in the knowledge that we'll come back again to continue the interrogation. Thank you very much.